Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. So I was thinking about something during the break here. Andre Dillard or Dennis Daly, who would you rather have at left tackle for the Titans? And I thought and I hoped and I prayed, and quite frankly, I expected that we wouldn't be having this discussion 6 games into the new season, that we would, you know, no matter how bad Dillard is, there's no way he could be worse than Daly. Ian, Daly or Dillard at left tackle, who would you rather have?
I think I'll go Dillard, but it's close.
I just think that Dennis Daly was the poster child for terrible, whereas Andre Dillard has like a whole group to share in the terrible with him.
I don't know. Maybe Daly was a better run blocker.
I think it might be Daly. I think it might be Dennis Daly. Which, the fact that we're even having this discussion is embarrassing. Like, it's depressing. And so, because the Titans have decided not to be transparent about how they make decisions, and that's their choice, not mine, I think we've got to do some digging and then speculate for ourselves who really is responsible for what. And Chris Sanders was just on the show, and he said, you know, Dillard, he's not a Vrabel guy. Which is Chris Sanders' way of saying Andre Dillard is soft. Vrabel, a tough player, got the most out of his talent, pushed everybody else in the locker room, always in shape, always conditioned, always talking trash to Tom Brady. It didn't matter. And then there's Dillard, who can't even push back. Oh, he's got the talent to push back, but he can't push back. So I keep wondering, who is responsible for the Tennessee Titans giving the left tackle position and $10 million to a guy that absolutely does not fit with how this organization is run? And again, they'll never tell you. If you were to ask Rand Carthon, oh, it's a collaboration. If you were to ask Mike Vrabel, oh, it's a collaboration. But you know as well as I do that that's not how these things work. It wasn't just they both sat there, looked at every left tackle in free agency, and then met in the conference room and said, okay, on the count of three, one, two, three, Andre Dillard. Oh, wow, we both had Andre Dillard. That's not how this works. And I am convinced that even though Andre Dillard is not a Mike Vrabel guy, I am convinced that Andre Dillard is Mike Vrabel's guy. And I'll tell you why. Because when the Titans were run by John Robinson and they signed somebody in free agency, especially somebody to play tackle, and they showed up right away or they drafted him and the guy was no good, very quickly in training camp, Vrabel pulled the plug. Remember when they signed Kendall Lamb after they released Dennis Kelly? They released Dennis Kelly. They signed Kendall Lamb, they drafted Dylan Raidens, and it was before they even put the pads on that they decided, okay, somebody else is going to be playing right tackle this year. I remember it was the second day of training camp, no pads, 2021. I turned to Joe Rexroad, and I said, this Kendall Lamb sucks. And Joe was like, they haven't even put pads on. And then 2 days later, Jim Wyatt asked Vrabel about the right tackle position, and he was talking about, well, when Ty Sambrylo comes back healthy, he might be our guy. And it ended up being David Quessenberry. But Kendall Lamb wasn't Vrabel's guy. Dylan Raidens wasn't Vrabel's guy. So it wasn't hard for him to just kick them out of there. But Andre Dillard was Vrabel's guy. Think about this. It is well known that in the 2019 draft, the Houston Texans had the pick, I believe it was 20th, but I could be wrong about this. No, I think it was 20-something. The Houston Texans had the pick, and the Philadelphia Eagles jumped the Texans in order to draft Andre Dillard. The Texans ended up having to draft Titus Howard. And it was well documented at the time that the reason why the Eagles jumped the Texans was because they knew the Texans were going to draft Andre Dillard. Who was the Texans' offensive coordinator that year? Tim Kelly. They got beat to the punch in 2019. Andre Dillard doesn't play much, but there's that one game against Micah Parsons that he did okay. So you can say, well, Jordan Mailata's just a good player, and he beat him out for the job. Can't blame him for that. But it was Vrabel. It was Vrabel who decided to go with Andre Dillard. This was Mike Vrabel at the owners' meetings in March of this year, right after they signed Andre Dillard. And listen to Vrabel tell you what Andre Dillard is.
Andre Dillard, you know, is a player that we feel like his best football is in front of him with a new opportunity. Very skilled pass protector, which is something that we have to improve on. We have to be able to protect our quarterback. Bad things happen. We've all seen it. We've always talked about it. So I was excited to be able to add him.
We're excited to add this very skilled pass protector whose best football is in front of him. And Vrabel seemed pretty confident about that. You know why? Because Vrabel, the GM, is convinced that Vrabel, the coach, can coach up Andre Dillard's skill set. I can coach him. He's a very skilled pass protector. Is he? And again, in the past, when one of these offensive linemen have come in here and they're not a Vrabel guy, Vrabel kicks them out very quickly. Kendall Lamb, get out of here. Dylan Raidens, goodbye. Caleb Farley, go to the bench. But not Andre Dillard. In fact, all he ever did was cover for Andre Dillard. This was in camp. This was 2 days in, where it was apparent that Dillard sucked because Arden Key was just blowing by him every time, just going. And this is what Vrabel said after all of us watched Dillard get smoked by Arden Key.
I mean, we're 2 days in, so you know, I think if he keeps working against Arden, I think he'll be just fine. Arden's offered us a lot of just impact over there just in a short time. I mean, we don't have pads on and they're not sacking a quarterback, but I know that, you know, Arden's able to mix moves, and so he's getting multiples moves and just different looks and, you know, wiggle, long arm, chop, everything you can give him. So that will take all we can get.
I mean, give him a break, Jared. He's going against Arden Key. Don't you realize? Arden Key, I mean, that's basically like J.J. Watt combined with T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett all at once. By the way, when's the last time Arden Key hit the quarterback around here? I can't even remember.
I remember a penalty.
For hitting him late? Yeah. Well, I mean, so Vrabel, he's going against Arden. I mean, let's be serious here. So 2 days into camp, it's obvious Dillard's no good. Vrabel's making excuses for him. And then this was 2 weeks into camp, where Vrabel again is telling you about the things that you can't contest and just about, oh man, that's my guy.
Mike, how do you evaluate Andre Dillard's progress to this point, and how have you seen him take coaching?
He's a very coachable player. I mean, I go in there in the morning just to check in with Haas, and he's in there before the meetings just getting early jump on the installation. Those are things that he likes to do, to be able to, you know, make sure that he's sound on whatever installation they put in the night before. And I think he has improved. I think every day that he's out there, he's gotten better. So we'll just keep working and keep going. But he's out there every single day and trying to get in condition and up to the standards in which we've set, you know, about effort and about finish and, you know, and then again, all the tech athletically, he's got all the skills. And then now just making sure that, you know, he continues to progress each and every day.
I mean, he's got the right attitude. He's doing everything right, even though he puts PT in the game this week. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm just glad he was happy to be out there. I am convinced this Andre Dillard thing, where Vrabel is covering for a soft left tackle, is Vrabel, the general manager, being convinced that Vrabel, the coach, can take the skill set that got Andre Dillard drafted in the first round and can do what the Eagles, who, by the way, have an excellent offensive line coach in Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles coaches could not do. Vrabel, the GM, thinks Vrabel, the coach, can coach up Andre Dillard. Then, when he realizes Andre Dillard is a lemon, he's decided that Vrabel, the coach, needs to try to find a way to make this work, or needs to cover for him, or needs to tell us things like, what do you expect? He's going against Arden Key. I mean, you should see him in the meeting rooms. He's the first one there every morning. Because he knows that when Andre Dillard fails because Vrabel, the coach, can't coach him up, it'll make Vrabel, the GM, look bad. This is Vrabel's guy. Vrabel wanted Andre Dillard. I'm convinced of it. And this is why when they fired John Robinson, I thought, oh no, please do not put Mike Vrabel in charge of the personnel. But it looks like Mike Vrabel is. And when you get Mike Vrabel in charge of personnel, apparently you get Andre Dillard at left tackle. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025, if you want to weigh in here on the program. And it was good that Chris said those positive things about Vrabel, because then we get into the Andre Dillard thing. I mean, I remember that 2021 camp. They had signed Kendall Lamb, they had drafted Dylan Raidens, and they were both awful. And Vrabel asked about it the second day. Starts, well, when Ty Sam Brilo gets healthy, you know, he'll be in the mix there. He hates the other two. 615-737-1025. Plus, we talked yesterday. We did this very, I thought, enjoyable experience, the Choose Your Own Adventure, about Vrabel. Well, here's kind of one of the problems for you all that are getting tired of Vrabel. And that's, what's the second shoe to drop? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
Nicholas Petit-Frere actually made me encouraged at left tackle. He missed a bunch of blocks, especially at the end of the game when Willis kept on getting sacked. A lot of the times that was because he was either beat or just flat out bowled back into the quarterback. But there were other times when he set a good edge. In other words, when the pass rusher was trying to come around the corner, when Andre Dillard was at left tackle, it was almost a guarantee that that corner was going to be soft and it was going to be a pressure. The quarterback was going to have to move. Whereas Petit-Frere did a much better job in general, not every time, of making that corner more stout. He also, from a run blocking standpoint, was more aggressive. Whereas Dillard would sort of fit up with the guy and then kind of lean against him. You saw Petit-Frere try to shove the guy on Derrick Henry's 15-yard touchdown over left tackle. Petit-Frere stepped out to block the end man on the line. And instead of just shielding him out there, he drove him. I mean, he pushed him. He drove him and created extra space, and that was important. And so, you know, if he continues to develop now, at least you'll have an improvement from what Dillard had been doing.
So Trevor's pretty much told you that he's not interested in continuing the Andre Dillard experiment anymore out there at left tackle. But he is Vrabel's guy. And I still don't understand why the Titans can't play the left tackle that they drafted with the 11th overall pick at left tackle. But maybe that's a different discussion for the first hour of this program. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean says, Dillard is soft. Daly had bad technique. Put them together, and you might actually have an average player. See, that's the other thing that I don't understand. When the Titans talk about bringing in the right guys, you hear it all the time. And this is probably my biggest issue with Rand Carthon as general manager. I feel like everything with him is all lip service. Like, he gets up there and talks about all these important things, but then what's he do about it? And it brings in some Scarbinis they had at the 49ers. It's like, you talk about bringing in these guys, and I know I'm blaming Vrabel for this, and I continue to blame Vrabel for this, of Andre Dillard. How did you not know that Andre Dillard was a total softy? If you're going to invest the money in that, you know, you can wait. Donovan Smith started all those years with the Buccaneers. He's the left tackle for the Chiefs. He makes $3 million. Andre Dillard is getting 10 guaranteed from you. How does that happen? But Vrabel was convinced that he was a good pass protector, which he very clearly is not. One texter says, so the defense wasn't that great in camp. The offense just stinks. Well, looks like it may be, that may be the case. I'm having a really hard time with this because everything that I cared about in training camp, I really got into training camp. Like, I think that you guys sometimes, and I see your texts and you'll call in and you'll say during training camp, oh, Jared, it's just practice. And I'm like, well, no, the guys who play the best in practice are usually the best players in the game. And so it does matter what happens in practice. Monty Rice sucked in practice. Jack Gibbons didn't. Jack Gibbons is starting. So that matters. And then when I saw them go up against Tampa Bay, I'm like, that matters. The preseason, when they play, at least they're playing football, that has to matter for something. And my big preseason takeaway was that Kenny Pickett and the Steelers were going to be a wrecking ball this year. Although I do believe, are they technically in first place? My Steelers?
Don't think so. I think the Ravens are.
Oh, well. They haven't played the Titans yet. But, I mean, my Steelers, you know, they became my team because of training camp in
the
preseason.
Yeah, they're in third, actually. Cleveland's in second.
Darn. Rough go of it for my preseason take. And so there may be just a, like, training camp next year. I may sit it out. Out of protest for buying into training camp stories and things of that magnitude. One texter says, you're on Vrabel about Andre Dillard, but he benched him for Nicholas Petit-Ferrer last game, Jared. Yeah, he didn't really have a choice at that point, did he? I mean, should Andre Dillard have been the starting left tackle of this team? In fact, here's what I still can't get over. Is the fact that I understand, and not that I am a believer at all in Dillard, but I understand the idea of if you think Dillard can play, at least to give you something, that you sign him and then you go into the draft. And then if a left tackle who's at the top of your board is sitting there and you take him, right? Roll the dice, play the board. And you go out there and you take, let's say, Paris Johnson Jr., right? Like somebody who is labeled a left tackle, who is a left tackle, who there is no gray area about what position they play. Would you not take Paris Johnson? Would you not take your future franchise left tackle with the 11th pick because, well, we've signed Dillard? And I thought the answer to that was no. I thought you would take your future first round or your future left tackle. Because I didn't think Dillard was the long-term solution for this organization. But instead, they took Skoronski and they put him at an infinitely lesser important position. And I still don't understand like why they're not reconsidering any of this. Fred in Ashland City said, Jared, if they don't trade assets, which I'm not really for, how are they going to get this team better in the offseason? Well, Fred, can I ask you what you're going to get for those assets? The trade deadline is the week after. I think it's the Tuesday after the Falcons game. Tannehill's hurt, so he's out. Derrick Henry is expensive. So either you eat up all the money and somebody gives you a fourth-round pick, or you don't eat up the money and they give you a, I think PK said this morning on Robbie and Joe, a sixth-round pick. That sixth-round pick going to make your football team any better? Like, you're not going to build your team on sixth-round picks. I know you can hit on them, and I like them. You know, I like more picks. The more picks, the better. But, again, you're not going to build this thing off of six-round picks. Ben says, I think PT started because Mike finally had a choice. PT was suspended and then had to get ramped up. PT did not start. Think about this. Not only did PT not start, which we said on the show last week when Vrabel was asked about PT starting, and he said, well, you know, I'm not taking Chris Hubbard out. And I said, we're not talking about him starting at right tackle. We're talking about him starting at left tackle. That's where I'm putting Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. And I don't even like Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. I think he's kind of a softy too. He sucks. But he can't suck as bad as Dillard. Nope, Vrabel started Dillard. And then this is how bad Dillard was. That not only is he Vrabel's guy because Vrabel wanted to sign him, and so Vrabel looks like an idiot for the fact that this guy freaking sucks, But at the same time, what did PT do before being put in the game at left tackle? He killed your drive by lining up illegally. And they still promoted him in there. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, it's so angering. All right, I want to get off the offensive line for a second because I've been complaining about this too much. And honestly, it's just not good for my quality of life. And I'm going to be banging on the offensive line later today at some point. Jeffrey Simmons apparently got himself into some more drama on Sunday. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
What do you think of Jeffrey's comments about just some guys need to decide if they want to play and want to be here?
I mean, Jeff's earned the right to say a lot as he wants, but, you know, I think that that could go for a lot of guys. You know, we've hit the quarterback three times the last two games, so we'd have to, you know, prepare there too. That's tough to win, and it's tough to cause turnovers when you hit the quarterback twice in two games.
Vrabel wanted to mention, when asked about Simmons, you know, we're not hitting the quarterback. Like, it'd be nice if Simmons would do his freaking job. And I thought that was kind of a shot at Simmons. And I still think it is. But now I think the shot may be pointed in a different direction. So on Sunday, we all know Jeffrey Simmons got a stupid personal foul penalty because Odell Beckham kicked him. And then he got up and he shoved Odell Beckham to the ground. Now, look, Simmons is notoriously one of the dirtiest players in the NFL. Like, it is talked about that Simmons is truly one of the more dirty players. But Simmons hits Odell, gets flagged 15 yards because, of course, when you shove a guy to the ground, you're going to get a 15-yard penalty. And you could argue that that probably cost you, or you could at least say that that could have cost you 4 points because that was on a third down when he got up and he ended up hitting him. And it was, it would have been third down, what? Third down and six. And he got up and he hit Odell Beckham, and you can't do it on a third and six. And on the next play, Lamar hits the fullback short and then finds Zay Flowers for the touchdown. So you can throw that one on Simmons if you want. So I figured that maybe, you know, Vrabel's mad that he's not hitting the quarterback and that he's... But then apparently, this was Marlon Humphrey's podcast, the corner for the Ravens, who I guess has enough time to do a podcast, flies back from London. They're playing a game on Sunday. They're not like you. They don't have a bye. Flies back from London and
has time. Got an off day in there somewhere, right?
I guess has time to fit in his podcast.
Draymond, baby, from the hotel.
And aren't these the things that the players are like, you know, we keep this amongst us. This is apparently what went down after the game in the tunnel in London.
Bro, did you see the post game? Was that, did that get, I don't think that got out.
I don't think, what happened?
Dude, I'm sitting there after the game.
First of all, I love the idea of, I don't think this got out. So let me tell you all what happened. The real brotherhood moment right there from old buddy. Continue.
I jersey swapped with a dude. So like, it took me a while. So I'm like taking my jersey off and like, I saw Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm.
Won't say who he jersey swapped with.
He's looking like this. Helmet on.
Helmet on.
Helmet on. I'm like, oh, he must got like family on our team or something. He's still just looking. So like I'm over here trying to take the jersey on my path. He's just. And then I walk up to him, like, I'm thinking like, oh, he wants to show me love. Like he respects my game. So yeah, bro. And like he wasn't. Like I really just went up to him. He wasn't waiting on me either. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, go holler at somebody. And then as my back's turned to him, our guy goes, Rodney. Starts yelling. Rodney's our security's name. And I'm like, anytime you start yelling security, like, Rodney, like, freaking out. I turn around. Odell and Jeffrey are, like, fighting.
No way.
Bro, I'm pretty sure Odell's grabbing his face mask. Like they had to get separated and everything. I don't know how this has not hit, like,
that's
the media.
Crazy.
Dude, he wanted the fade from getting that P.I., that Odell. He wanted the fade from that.
Okay. It's always Simmons, isn't it? It was Simmons in training camp last year with Leonard Fournette. It was Simmons in training camp this year with Jamarco Jones. It's always Simmons. And I don't have a problem with that because I don't really care. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that hear that story and they think it's hilarious, or they think, oh, look at this drama between Simmons and Odell Beckham, or, oh, yeah, Jeff, he was mad that he got kicked and he went out and he decided he was going to settle it his way. And I don't care about any of that at all. But if you're Jeffrey Simmons and you're going to embarrass yourself like this and you're going to embarrass the team like that, you need to go sack the quarterback. So while I thought Vrabel the other day might have been a little out of line, like, you know, Jeff can talk about the fact that, you know, we got guys that need to fight around here or whatever it may be, but we've only hit the quarterback three times in the last two games. I just thought that was a shot for a shot. I think that that's Vrabel telling Jeff, hey, cut the bull crap out and get back to doing your job. And it's always Simmons. It's always Simmons. And I honestly don't care. You want to get in fights in training camp? As long as you don't break your hand or do something that hurts the team, I don't care. But will you please, please stop embarrassing the team if you're not going to do things on the football field that help the team win? And then secondly, and probably more importantly for this, is, dude, learn some control. Like, I don't want to go back and start discussing the video of when he was in high school and he was hitting that woman and then he had to have that press conference when they drafted him and everything else, because that was so long ago and he was in high school and whatever. But dude, get some freaking control. Like, the fact that you got mad about something in the first quarter, or actually, was this the second quarter? I think this was the first. That was the second quarter. You got mad about something with 4:52 to go in the second quarter. And instead of worrying about finding ways to win the game, the whole time you're worried about how you're going to get even with Odell Beckham Jr. That's what losers do. That's what loser teams do. It's like, dude, get some control. And why don't you focus on the game instead of focusing on Odell? And Jeff's a team captain, and he's a big part of their marketing program, and they gave him the money and all of these things. And what's he out there doing? Not hitting the quarterback, not doing his job, but taking 15-yard penalties. And so what does that do for everybody else? What's that say to them? You know, this is Vrabel. We talk about, is his message getting through to the team? One of his messages is, don't do dumb stuff that hurts the team. And when you're spending the whole game worried about getting even with Odell Beckham, I mean, that this is what you're, that's what you're worried about? One texter texted in and said, good possibility Vrabel's lost the locker room. Ian, do we think Vrabel's lost the locker room?
Can't go there yet. No.
I don't think his message is resonating, but I don't think they hate him yet. I think it's probably getting close, but I don't think they hate him.
My worry with the whole locker room message thing is the reaching into the personnel department as the head coach. Like, I worry about the blurred line there.
I see. I don't worry. I don't think the players care about that, but because I worry about it for his sake.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if the players look at it differently, coaches versus personnel. You know, John Robinson, who was making the decisions on who's on the roster.
Like, the players could sit there in the locker room and say, F J Rob.
Yeah, like,
and it's not Vrabel's fault.
Yeah.
But Vrabel, then now it is Vrabel's fault.
So yeah, it's hard to play good cop, bad cop sometimes if you're going to be like in charge of personnel and who's on the team and who you're cutting and all that kind of stuff.
Again, I don't mind like the Simmons trying to pick a fight with Odell Beckham. Like, that's none of my business. I don't care about that. Like, all this other stuff, like, to me, that's wrestling stuff, right? Like, that's why, like, I'm not a listener to Bussin' with the Boys. And I know it's a popular podcast, but it's like these two dudes just sit there and be like, oh, yeah, dude. It's almost like an Ashton Kutcher movie or something with guys that used to play in the NFL. And, like, that's just not me. Like, I'm just not interested in that stuff. So when it comes to, you know, oh, Jeffrey went up the tunnel to go find Odell, I don't care. But I do care if your focus is not on football. I do care if your focus, now that you've got your money, is all about you. Like, oh, no, yeah, who cares if we give up this first down on third down? I'm going to shove Odell, and I'm going to show him. And that's what losing players do, and that's what losing teams do. And that's been kind of the hallmark of why the Titans have been successful with lesser players, is because Vrabel coaches them up. And he hasn't been doing that. Jared from Spring Hill says he has definitely lost the locker room. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out at all. Boy, are the Titans really 2-13 in their last 15 games? That is horrible. See, they lost their last 7. Plus 4. That's 11. They won 2. They're 2-11. They're not 2-13. That's not right. 2-11. Oh, that's bad. Oh, this is awful. Texter into the text line says, I think this is all a part of the Titans' plan to tear everything down so that they'll have plenty of money to spend on the roster when they move into the new stadium. I don't think the Titans are going to try to be bad. I'll tell you what's not good for trying to sell PSLs at the clip that I assume that they're going to try to sell these at. It's probably never good to be terrible for 5 years straight going into a new stadium. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think when you're asking people to commit, you know, $40,000 for this one PSL, you better not be bad for 5 years or else you're not going to get anybody to pay for that. I think one of the problems with the Rams stadium is that, like, they had their estimations for where, like, money was going to come from for the stadium. And it's all privately funded, but part of it was the Chargers season tickets were going to have PSLs, and, like, nobody's interested in buying Chargers season tickets. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phones here on the program. Predators got smoked last night, and I got to tell you, it was the most obvious butt-kicking that you ever could have seen coming, and I'm not even mad about it. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. Hey, you know I love Twice daily and the White Bison. That's right. White Bison is your local coffee shop with food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. Pumpkin season is back. So celebrate pumpkin season by grabbing a pumpkin spice frappe, pumpkin sweet foam cold brew, or classic pumpkin spice latte. When you're looking to complement your day with an iced or blended coffee near you, White Bison is the place to go. White Bison Coffee. They've got hot drinks, iced and blended drinks, teas, smoothies, and more. Finely crafted for you every day. And if you're somebody who wants to switch it up, you can just switch between those options every day. It's great. Perfect for any weather. Order ahead and get rewards, and then download the app so that you can order ahead and earn rewards and get one free coffee every time you buy 7. That's part of White Bison's rewards. Buy 7, get one free. White Bison, your local coffee shop.
Oilers still working it around. Sisson, Smith, McDonough, and Carrier, the Nashville Killers. Left side, Nugent Hopkins, one-timer, and Dreisaitl scores. Dreisaitl in the bumper. Nugent Hopkins in the circle to Hyman down low. And Dreisaitl, the one-timer goal. 1-0 Edmonton, 11:49 left in the first. Nugent Hopkins leads the rush. It's 2-on-4. Three Preds back late. A shot. Blocker saves Saros. Everybody other than McDonough was late getting back. Oilers still have it. Dreisaitl to Bouchard to the middle, open net, and Hyman scores. Saros came out to challenge as the play started in the left circle, and Hyman was waiting on the doorstep for an easy one from about 2 feet out. 2-0 Oilers, 6:22 left in the first.
You know, I really liked our will, our effort. It just has to be a little smarter and a little bit understanding where and parts of the game, like I said, that you really have to make sure we take care of business in certain areas, and we didn't, and they made us pay.
There you go. That was yesterday. And last night, I watched the game. Somebody said to me on Sunday, they were like, do you think the Predators are going to win on Tuesday after, you know, how bad of a football weekend it was? And I said, no. I said, they're not going to win on Tuesday. And they said, why not? And I said, because they never beat this team. And so I don't know what it is about the Edmonton Oilers, but the Edmonton Oilers haven't won anything in the last 6 years when they've had McDavid and Draisaitl and that crew. Every year, they're buyers at the trade deadline. Every year, they're one piece away, it feels like. And every year, they're out in the second round. And I do not understand it. But every time they come into this building, they take it over. I have never seen that before in my life. Every time they come in, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, these guys are unstoppable. And not only is it that, I'm not going to watch Edmonton Oilers hockey on my own time. How do these guys not win the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup every year? I only see them when they play the Predators. How do these guys not win the Cup every year? I mean, they score every power play they're on. Every time they cross the blue line, one guy, you know, first of all, McDavid can skate past anybody. And then Draisaitl, every time, just stands right in the slot, every time. And gets a pass and just puts it right in the net. And I wasn't even mad about it. I'm sitting there at the game. And it's the feeling I had was just, I felt grateful at the game yesterday while the Predators were getting their butts kicked. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm grateful to get to watch the poetry at this point that is the Edmonton Oilers spanking the Predators on the behind. I'm grateful for it. I am invested. I'm okay with it. They can lose 100-0 to that team, and it will not bother me. You lose to somebody else, I'll get mad. Sportsnet has a story about this. There are certain guarantees in Nashville that make this town what it is, like the fried bologna sandwich at Robert's Western World that comes with a PBR for only 50 cents extra. I didn't even know they had that. Or the band that plays as hard on a Tuesday night as they do on a weekend, because that's when studio execs like to do their scouting. I don't think that's true, by the way. I could be wrong about that, but this kind of seems like a... kind of seems not reality of Nashville. Anywho, they continue. Then there is Leon Draisaitl guarantee that leaves the Nashville Predators in need of Advil without ever setting foot in a Broadway honky-tonk. No player has dominated another NHL team in recent history the way Draisaitl has dismantled the Predators. Not McDavid versus the Calgary Flames, not Austin Matthews over Montreal, not David Pastrnak against the Philadelphia Flyers. Draisaitl owns the Predators the way a farmer owns his mule, becoming the Edmonton Oilers' all-time power play goal leader on a four-point night Tuesday as the Oilers thumped the Predators 6-1 for their first win of the young season. Draisaitl said after the game, I don't know, I can't explain it.
It's just in their heads at this point.
Oh my God, I said yesterday.
He gets two goals every time.
I said to Barry, I think it was on the show yesterday, I said to Barry, I was like, these guys, every time they come in here, just smoke them.
Draisaitl's good for two goals and probably at least one assist, and McDavid is good for at least one goal and at least two assists every time.
Robbie Stanley just told me Draisaitl has 34 points in his last 12 games against the Predators. 34 points! That's like Ryan Johansson for two seasons in 12 games. Holy smokes. But you know what? Again, I'm not mad about it. They're going to play again once more at least this year, right? You know, isn't it weird? They sometimes play like teams out. They usually play them once at home and twice on the road, or twice on the road and
three times total.
Yeah. So it's either twice here or once here and twice there. If they come back here again, they're going to win that game 8-2. I mean, I would bet everything I own on the Edmonton Oilers next time they come here beating the Predators.
And Draisaitl to score a goal.
Every time. I mean, I remember, it's crazy to think about COVID, because that was like the COVID shutdowns, they were so long ago. But do you remember the night before the tornado, they came in here and they won something like 8-1? Like they ran Pecorine out of the building? That was 3 years ago. Like that was four hockey seasons ago. And they just keep coming in here and just tapping that butt with their hands every time they come in. And I'm not even mad about it anymore. Like before, you know, they go out there and lose a game after I sat there and I didn't guarantee that they were going to make the playoffs, but I came very close to guaranteeing yesterday that the Predators are going to make the playoffs. I still think that the Predators are going to make the playoffs. But just yesterday, that was just more of the expected. More of the same. One texter says, I'm in the music business. No scouting is ever done on Broadway. All scouting is done on social media. Broadway is just people doing covers. Do you hear that, music people? Scouting is done on social media, not in the honky-tonks. I got to tell you, that whole line of thinking, like, you know, this goober from Canada writing at Sportsnet, you know, the Broadway execs do their, or the music execs do their scouting on Tuesday nights. That's what's ruined downtown. Like that, like just the assumptions of things like that. That has ruined downtown. Texter says, Phil says, the Predators make the Oilers look like the world enders every single time. Easy money betting on mobile.
Well, the past couple of years, especially, the styles were complete polar opposites between the Hines kind of slug it out, slow it down, versus the Edmonton just razzle-dazzle all up and down the ice, go as fast as you can, and the Preds can never really catch up and score. And they take so many penalties against them, it just goes back into the penalty box, and it's like this vicious cycle, and it's just boom, boom, boom.
Did they blow you out when Laviolette was the coach? Or is this just become a Hines thing? Like, did that start the night of the tornado?
No, I think in Edmonton, even Pecorine, I think, had some issues in Edmonton against these guys. I just think it's, you know, the Preds have always lacked top-end talent.
Speed.
And when you go up against, like, two of the top five guys, I think it starts to show.
I can't believe this team never wins anything in the playoffs.
Well, they did win some in the playoffs last year, you know, but they're...
What'd they get to?
I believe they got to, was it the year before? They've gotten to the Western Conference Final.
I don't think they have.
I'm pretty sure they lost to Colorado in the Western Conference Final. And last year, did they lose in the first round? Maybe. But I have to go back.
I'm telling you, they don't ever win anything in the playoffs.
Well, their goalies are always up and down.
And that's like Chase texted me, you know, it's their goaltending. I'll have to take your word for it because I don't watch the Edmonton Oilers when they don't play the Predators. But it's, again, when you play them, they look like Michael Jordan. And when apparently they play everybody else, it's Montel Jordan. So I can't tell you. I mean, but it's so, I don't know the right way to say this, right? Because like the Titans played like crap, lost by a touchdown on Sunday, and I lost my mind about it. And when the Predators do something stupid, I get mad about it. But right now, I'm indifferent. It's like I'm almost like, again, grateful to have had the opportunity to watch those two freaking studs. Like this Hyman that's on their team?
Yeah, he's kind of just a guy, though.
Right. Well, you know how I am about these Scarbinis on these other teams at the end. I don't know any of these guys. I only know the good players. It's like that Connor Garland thing where we were talking with, I think it was Vingan yesterday, where I was talking about how I don't know who Connor Garland is of Vancouver. And he was like, well, you don't watch Vancouver Canucks hockey. You're not that. I said, you're right, which is how I know if a guy's good or not is because I only know the good players. So this Hyman in Edmonton, he's just a regular guy. But I know him because he scores all the time when he plays the Predators because those two guys can't score every goal. They have to pass the puck to somebody to score it for them. And he's the guy. But boy, those guys, they just kill the Predators. I mean, it's insane. That game does nothing for me in terms of telling me anything about this team. That the Predators were going to lose by 100 when that game was put on the schedule. Robbie says Edmonton is 10-0-2 in their last 12 against the Predators, and apparently they've gotten to one conference final. I don't see why they don't win more. Oh, my goodness gracious.
In the playoffs, it is tougher, though, when you're just all loaded on the one line. You know, their depth is lacking, but with those two in the power play, with the Preds, it doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter at all in the playoffs. The only thing that matters in the playoffs, big boy forwards, and they've got them. They just don't have anything else, apparently. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Throw that one out there. Last night, I'm not even mad about it. Like, I expected it last night. It happened last night. And it's fun to watch the best players of all time. It is fun for me to watch the best players of all time. 615-737-1025. So I have heard your complaining about C.J. Stroud, and there are a lot of you out there that are saying, well, C.J. Stroud, Jared, he's so good, and our rookie quarterback's not. So I decided to watch the Texans today so that I can get a feel for what it is about C.J. Stroud that makes him so good that apparently you can't have. We'll get to that coming up next because I don't think you'll want to hear what I have to say. Hey, be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see Patton Oswalt live at City Winery this Saturday for the 10 o'clock show. Good luck for that one. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.